A question that I had earlier is when you guys have such a specific tone and dynamic that you've created yourself, when you're bringing in other people like a DP, a producer, what is that process like to kind of like lend your creative voice to them and trust them with your voice?
We really like to work with our friends. And most people we work with, especially in like the key roles, are just like people that we are friends with in real life, which we think are so talented and just love being around.
I feel like every film set has to be at least 51% summer camp and then 49% film production.
That's true.
It has to be.
I'm Luke Steinfeld.
And I'm Wyatt Sarkissian.
We made the 50-50 podcast to support you on your filmmaking journey.
50% business, 50% creative.
Every Tuesday, a new how-to.
This week, it's AG Squared. That's right, filmmaking duo Andrew Gerstenblatt and Arthur Goldbart are on the show. Or back on the show, should I say. It should be mentioned that not only are these guys our first repeat guests, but they're foundational to the DNA of the 50/50 Festival itself. Our longtime pals discussed their newest short, The Extraordinaries, which not only was a 50/50 selectee, but is a true testament to their creative partnership, friendship, and marriage? Maybe? Are they getting married? Tune in to find out.
You have, is this your real handwriting?
Yeah, it is. It's my notepad.
Wait, so when are we going to talk about...
I did some preparation, man.
Are we going to talk about Drake soon?
Drake?
Yeah, earlier or later in
you
the
can,
podcast.
You can talk about Drake.
Drake and driving. Drake and driving.
Have you ever done a Drake and drive?
Yeah.
Drake and drive?
Yeah. Drake and drive.
I don't know.
No, what is this?
It's just, you know...
Listen to Drake while you drive.
Oh, Drake and drive.
Yeah, yeah. You guys
it's
drink
kind
drive.
Of close to drink and drive, which
yeah,
is not...
Yeah, but it's way worse.
Yeah, but yeah. It's way more dangerous.
It's a lot more dangerous. There we go.
What were you guys doing that on the way here?
We did it.
Yeah, taking your time. Can we talk about when you guys got here?
Yeah, I know. We were
late. Yeah, we were.
Shout out Parker Fennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You can cut
shout
that.
Shout out. No, Parker's great. We can't cut. So
can't.
This is.
With visual, you actually can't cut. Or you can, but it looks
a little weird.
It looks
weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So we should self censor ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we shouldn't talk about Drake then.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to talk about Drake.
I mean, I'll let you guys do the interview.
I'm a. Let's not talk about Drake.
Yeah.
You're a big fan.
We cut that out.
Drake.
Yeah.
Luke likes what Drake likes.
We can't cut this out.
We just can't.
Yeah.
Well, I want to first talk about your partnership.
It's a nice segue.
And you guys are roommates. BFFs.
Yeah.
True.
And we've had both of you individually on the podcast, and you've obviously talked about each other.
Yes.
But I want to kind of discuss what your creative partnership looks like through this film, The Extraordinaries, and if you want to just give like a one-liner of what it's about.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then talk about sort of the conception and we can go from there.
What's it about?
Well, it's about two guys
who
are on their way to a friend's wedding and they stop in an antique store to pick up a gift. One of them is British, one of them is American.
Guess which one.
Guess which one. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And
comment down below, guys.
Yeah. And the British guy gets a phone call. It unexpectedly changes everything, and hijinks ensue.
Yes.
As you could say. It's written, directed, and stars the both of us. And it was made from a very real place last year. And we kind of wanted to like return to our roots of doing something very homegrown and very like, you know, all of our friends are the crew, one day, one location, stars the both of us, and like just try to do something fun for us.
I feel like that's what people talk about, right? Like if we could just do like one location, one day, we actually did it. You know, it's like the idealistic thing that a lot of filmmakers who feel like they can't get anything done dream of doing, you know, and you guys did it. Which is pretty amazing.
Well, thank you.
And successfully doing that comes across, and we talk about it so much, but of like that calling card short.
Yeah.
Which is so important to have.
I think it was, it's fun that you mentioned that because it's like Arthur and I talk about are the things that we want to make all the time. Yeah. And like, we're very happy that we made The Extraordinaries because one, we had like so much fun doing it. And it was just like, you know, it wasn't super complicated because we had a great team behind us.
Yeah.
But also it was like, we kind of made the movie just for us so that we had like this time capsule movie that we could like go back totally. To and experience it's like,
and that you're proud of
yeah.
too.
Like, yeah, we're proud of it.
So proud of
it. It's like an alternative reality. Well, like I didn't get a visa and I didn't get sponsored. Like mm-hmm. what yeah. could have happened?
Yeah.
And it's like all based on like real conversations we have yes. had just in our living room.
Yes. Like literally we but had
you feel that. You yeah. feel that. And that I think a lot of times the best calling cards come from a very personal place.
Yeah. Totally.
You know? Yeah. And like it's so funny because it takes time to get there to be able to do that and like go off and write something very personal or real because you think you have to like, oh, well, maybe a murder and then there's a yeah. bus and then
right.
and
a anything plane. Can be in a short. Yeah. yeah. So it's yeah. like yeah. hard to stay true and authentic to who right. you guys are yeah. and your partnership.
But the simplicity of it and the realness, all of that come together and just the fact that it's you guys and naturally you're very funny people. And there's the
clearly you have that
too.
Chemistry, yeah. you know, yeah. like yeah. clearly you have that even like the dialogue was written, but it felt so natural.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, were you guys, messing around?
I believe that.
Yeah. 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 A lot of it's yes. improv.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. We've lived together for 5 years.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
many shorts have you made together at this point?
Two big ones. Bunch of sketches and yeah. a ton of like small ones.
Yeah. But we've been making like, I wouldn't even try to put a number on it because it's like, we've been making little stuff.
That's what I mean.
Since film school.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. And the writing process, what does that look like?
Yeah, writing process, depending on what it is, but yeah. like if we're writing that short, for example, that was really quick. Mm-hmm. That was just like based on real conversations, we wrote it in like a day,
wow.
tweaked yeah. it a couple times, mm-hmm. and then let it be kind of more fluid on
yeah.
set.
Yeah.
But like if we're writing a movie, not like that. We like outline for yeah. like a year sometimes.
Yeah. So you didn't outline this short?
No, because it was really. It's just, 8 pages, yeah. wow. you know, like very just like natural. We kind of talked about it and knew what we wanted yeah. to put into
also
it.
Also the simplicity of the plot yeah. sort of mm-hmm. allows you to not need to actually like order out the plot points
right.
in the way that
yeah.
you would
yes.
with
right.
a
it
different
just
kind of
felt like so what short. Would be you know, you kind of think yeah. sketch brain a little bit, uh-huh. like how can we escalate? What is the progression
totally.
Of this conversation?
And that's just like in you guys at yeah. this yeah. point to do that.
Right. Yeah. It's like beginning, middle, end, ABC.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Plot and payoff.
Yeah. yeah.
What's the difference of a sketch versus a comedic short film?
It's a good question. I think a comedic short film, at least for us, is set more in reality. The rules yeah. are more like true to real life. Whereas mm-hmm. a sketch, you can kind of go off the edges and kind of like anything can happen.
Yeah.
yeah.
And you do want to escalate in like the craziest, funniest way that you can. But it's like we were talking about this recently where it's like even if we're kind of playing ourselves mm-hmm. yeah. in a short or versus a sketch, it's just like Andrew could die and be dead for 1 second in a sketch and then come back to life the next second yeah. and it would still work.
Yeah.
You don't do that in a comedy.
It depends on like the
yeah.
world you're setting up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a world where someone can die and come
right.
back to life right away?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
And in the short, like we try to stick to the same rules of storytelling as what we would do in a feature.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like sketch anything goes.
As in you're thinking about an arc.
Yes. Thinking about
yes.
and plans, payoffs
stories.
And
yeah.
arcs
yeah.
And,
yeah.
and change and growth yeah. and like you know, stuff that's a little more whole.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
and tied up. In
like
a
short is kind of a, scope,
yeah.
a circle, but a sketch is kind of a straight
yeah.
line.
But even hearing that and like, because Extraordinaries is a comedic short film. It's not
yes.
a sketch.
Right.
And you're thinking feature mind, like, we need these plants and these payoffs.
Yeah.
That comes from rewriting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I mean, if it's not outlining, it's rewriting.
Yes,
yep, 100%.
For sure.
Unless you're just so in it that you're like,
no.
We'll plant this here and pay off
yeah.
when we get to page 8.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No, like, it's like.
So did you guys, you wrote it in a day, but were you rewriting for months? Were you, or was it really just.
The short?
Yeah.
No, we wrote it in a day and then like, you know, I think sent it to our producers who gave us like a couple thoughts and notes.
Yeah.
We tweaked it
yeah.
from there and that was kind of it. But then it changed on the day.
Yeah.
When we
allow
were
it to be.
How?
Not plot wise. Right?
No,
just
plot wise.
In terms of dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I spoke about this in my first podcast, but it's kind of about like the onset magic.
Find the funny.
I
remember that.
And it's kind of just like, we wanted the Extraordinaries to be funny, but
yeah.
we wanted it to be like,
wholesome
and sweet and have a
yeah.
Yeah. drama and stakes to
absolutely.
It too.
And it definitely showed.
And it's like we
yeah.
definitely focused on that when we were writing the script. And then when we got in there, we were like, well, how do we find the funny more? And so we were improvising different lines and cutting in, like, it's a whole bit where we do, like, forget about it.
Yeah,
and, like, that was all
improv. That was, yeah, that was improv. Yeah. And that's, like, a plant and payoff and then, that people...
Yeah,
like,
yeah. yeah. I was going to say, it yeah, feels yeah. very written because it yeah. has that sort yeah. of yeah.
And
plant payoff.
What really helped is that we shot it quite chronologically.
We did, actually.
Which meant that, like, we could be improvising in one scene and be like, that's great, and bring that into the
Was that purposeful? In
yes.
The,
yeah. yeah, it was.
Was and it was over a day shooting wise, or was it a few days?
Just one.
It was one day. Oh, yeah, one yeah. day, 12-hour shoot, yeah. and it was like.
And that's even more helpful because yeah. you can yeah. really so nice. Remember what
yes,
happened
exactly.
2 hours ago.
And yeah. it's like, you know, like we said, like it was 8 pages, but it was also we broke it down like even though it's one location, we broke it down into 8 scenes.
Yeah.
And like you know, we're very big fans of this 8-sequence model of storytelling that we learned in school that yeah. we stick to when we're writing features. And we tried to do something similar when we were like writing it, when we were improvising and shooting it, and when we were like literally breaking down like how we were gonna shoot the scenes and, yeah. and our shoot day. And it helped us, I think, get into the flow yeah. of the story.
It was, because as Wyatt said, you guys were in a contained space. You were yes. in one space, and of course you were moving through. Yeah. Like there was movement. It wasn't like it was just
right,
you're both
yeah.
sitting.
No, yeah. There's
it didn't feel stagnant yeah. yeah. by any means. Yeah.
But how did you go about thinking about the space or even finding the space yeah. and once you found it
totally
how did blocking yeah. come into it? Was it on the day?
Well, yes.
Was it in writing? Yeah,
well, when we were writing it, it wasn't an antique store straight away. We were like, we want an interesting
yeah
location.
We knew we wanted yeah. to be in a weird
we
place.
Knew that it was
yeah.
about
did
like,
you know you were going to be wearing those costumes
that too? It's like we yeah. had these ideas where we like we want to be dressed funny.
Weird, yeah.
And we want to be in a cool place. And we know
there's
this
inherent
is what the
humor
story
in that.
Is.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And two people talking about pretty serious things.
Yeah, right.
Of course. Yes. It's a clown.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's
there's so much. And it's like, there's a part where when I get the phone call, it's a really funny ringtone.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not in the script. When not we right. were doing sound, right. we were just like,
can we add
I was
the
like,
boing?
Andrew, what if we put a boing in here? We were like, hey, fine. And then we're like, it's
great.
We'll keep it. But. Yeah, we didn't initially know it was going to be an antique store, but then we kind of started putting the story
yes,
together.
Yes, we did.
We're like, maybe, well, we're talking about getting married. What if we're going to a
we're
wedding?
We're going to a wedding.
Yeah.
Maybe we'd be wearing suits. Oh, funny suits, 70s suits. We'd love that look. That would be great.
Say we're going to a friend's wedding and we're driving up to some destination in California
yeah.
from LA.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where would we stop in the middle of nowhere?
Yes.
Probably like some strange antique
maybe
store.
Someone forgot to
yeah.
get a gift,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is what
totally.
We did.
There,
and
there's,
the antique store was perfect.
There's definitely like tonally almost like this sort of textured nostalgic feel to
yeah.
it due to the antique store, your guys' 70s
yes.
suits. Like, was that intentional?
Yes.
We often
yeah.
talk about how like we want to make
timeless
movies
uh-huh.
and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we want... It's very modern. I have an iPhone. It's
yes.
like
yeah.
it is
no,
today.
Yeah.
But we
but
would
we're
do like
70s suits,
yeah.
you know, at
yeah.
an antique
and
store that has all those
color
right.
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And that's, yes, I was going to like,
yeah.
because we really do talk about that a lot, is like, we hope that our movies like theoretically could exist in the 90s,
yeah.
in the 2000s, in the 80s,
yeah.
in the 2010s, in the 2020s.
Right.
It should feel relatable no matter what.
Yes.
How do you go about doing that? Aside from like, we shouldn't have a phone, but you had a
yeah.
phone, but it still feels
yeah.
timeless.
Good question.
I think about yeah. the deep end a lot. You made
yeah.
a great packet.
Yeah. We like, it's like, sure, which we've spoke about on our previous
uh-huh.
podcast before this was The Deep End. We wrote it together. Andrew directed it. It's a real kind of story based on Andrew's life.
Yeah.
Set in Rhode Island.
Set in Rhode Island.
And shot on location in
yeah.
Rhode Island.
And it was kind of like, you know, we put on a ton of different hats each when we were doing that. And we kind of
yeah.
decided that like, maybe I'd be the production designer or something. And
it was a big crew too.
It was
the same
well,
amount of people.
Yeah.
There was more like extras
yeah.
and stuff in
right.
different locations.
Larger set.
But right.
like
yeah.
there was the same amount of, there might've even been less core crew members
oh.
than there were on, than
yeah.
on The Extraordinaries.
Wow.
Yeah.
But we, I was like, well, let me just put together like a kind of lookbook for costumes, which became more of like a vibe pitch deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, we're doing water and we're doing kind of post high school and it's vibes and it's just like we're on the beach and it's
yeah.
like everybody, if you look at fashion, how like we're wearing the same shit our parents were wearing in like the 80s, 70s, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's yeah. very but cyclical.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. if you look at trends like that,
yeah.
you can really pinpoint a moment in time which feels like so many different moments.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And that was really helpful for us. And it's like kids at parties are always yes. going to be the same.
It's always the same.
Yeah.
Feeling. That's true.
And like, yeah. we tried to make it so that, I mean, there are no cell phones in the deep end.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
also, like, we tried to make it so that this movie, like, if you ask me what year is the deep end set in, I don't know if I would be able to tell you, because it's like, to yeah. me, it could be set in 2002. It could be set in 2019. It could be set That's in cool. 2024.
Yeah.
Like, it could be set maybe in like the 80s. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I like to yeah. think that, like, you know, and you might have different impressions when you watch it.
Yeah. Right.
And that's like
but for I, you to decide. I like the vagueness in terms of time.
Yeah. yeah.
If it's intentional.
Right.
And yes. it seems very intentional.
We really you, like.
Yeah, and that's what we yeah. try to do.
And we really like being Gen Z voices and yes. speaking yes. for our generation.
You guys well, have called yourselves the voice of your generation.
Yeah. We're yeah. And a, many a voice of a generation. That too
yeah. yeah. But we also do want like our parents or adults or anyone or people younger than us to be able to watch our stuff and be like, I feel like that could be me. I can see myself yeah. in that too.
We want them yeah. to laugh and yeah. to feel in the same way that people who are our age would be able to laugh and to feel.
Yeah.
So I love that. It sounds like the antithesis of that would be like leaning into like lingo that's like cool and hip in sure. this exact moment or very like timely yeah. things.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Drake or like this right. you know like yeah. whatever it is right
yeah because there's a lot of like Gen Z slang or yeah. or like internet
yeah
stuff like you know like we probably wouldn't write that somebody's like chopped in the movie you know yeah. what I mean because yeah. it'll date it
right, right. Yeah,
it'll
date yeah, it. Yeah, and yeah. also yeah. a parent hearing that like wait what is
yeah. right
yeah yeah yeah
but again but follow the funny if it works yeah. if it hits it's gonna be the right thing
thinking about that
yeah
what's most real
yeah but it's like we want our characters to this to speak the way that we speak and if it just feels real and natural to the way that we say stuff then
yes
it's fair to go in
you guys live together you're writing together
yeah
It's interesting to hear how much improv happened on set because in my head, I'm like, you do all the improv in your room together.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I mean, well, like, that's how it starts. Yeah. Like, the script is improv before it goes to paper, especially with something like The Extraordinaire.
And it's like, but I think it's like the more you plan, the more you'd be able to do improv.
Of course.
Where it's like, okay, you have a crew you can trust with a DP who knows what's up.
Yeah.
And like, then it's up to you to play. And even in addition to like, before we shot the movie you're talking about blocking a little bit
we're
like
to the antique store
like we shot the whole movie before we shot the whole movie on our phones which was very helpful advice
in
we
the
got
store?
In the store on our phones we That's shot really all great. The shots and the blocking and we cut it together
in one location
so nice
how did you do that you set up a time with
our DP was traveling but we went with our producer Amy
who also found the antique store for us. So it's like when we decided we wanted an antique store Amy was like completely instrumental in reaching out looking
and got the coolest spot
and we were just like we need somewhere close enough and it was like West Covina which was not very far away and
sounds so far it's not
it's like an hour it was like an hour drive
it's like going to Silver Lake
right
exactly
but Amy like was so good with talking with the owner and she was like we were like can we get in there early and Amy made such a great connection with her that it was just like you can just pull up for an hour and walk around
and we
and just do this
shot it on our phones and that was advice that we got from a mentor of Arthur's who shoots a lot of music videos and narrative work and is like a great cinematographer and director and we were like hey we're going into production on the short like how do we block it we're nervous whatever and he was like just shoot the whole thing on your phones and we were like and we went early and
Such
gave
a
us a lot of confidence
it's like a hack
especially when we are directing and acting because
we you don't want to have
planned,
to care about
we don't want
we
to
planned
figure it
so
out.
Much and so well that it meant that we kind of didn't really need to direct on set we could really focus on acting because we had directed before the shoot started
and then it gave us the room to play
and you guys are the only two actors and you were able to kind of just like self-direct in a way
Was like originally in the script we had like an old lady running the store and then we were just like
us it's just us and then we justified it but it also made more sense to us that it would only be us because then it gave the antique store sort of like this magical, mythical quality that, like,
and nobody was asking, where's the lady running the store? Like, nobody is thinking about that.
It became, you know? The antique store became a character in itself.
Yeah, and, like, your dynamic is so specific that it felt like you were in your own internal world.
Yes.
You know? And, like, it is this alternate universe.
Yeah, right. And it's like, where nobody else exists. Shot it very, like, voyeuristically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you'll kind of, like, pick up maybe... We kind of wanted to almost give this vibe where it's like, this is a story which could take place in like a whole show just about this antique store.
We're
just one story happening in this place.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And it's like this magic place which like you go in and it kind of makes your wishes come true.
What did that actually like apply to? Like, was that the way you thought about lighting in the store?
Lighting, definitely. Like
the sounds, I guess everything. Yes.
Yeah, everything. But like more just the story of what happens to these characters. Because like I like to believe that this store pops up for you on the drive somewhere. It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And it pops up for you at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And it's going to help you find the thing that you're looking for.
Antique stores kind of do that. You kind of like, you walk in, like, you find the thing you're looking for without, you know.
Yeah. It's like it's like a magical helper.
I mean, yes, exactly. Literally.
But it's a character in and of itself.
If you watch the movie, there are some hugely important hero props, which we found in that antique store. The ring, the two like people getting married, that little sculpture thing. It's not in the script. Those were just in the store, and they you would think that we found those things first.
That's another reason to shoot at a location.
But then we use that to block our thing. We're like, you know, it'd be funny if Arthur was here and then he moved away and then the marriage thing was behind.
Did you find that on the iPhone footage?
Yes.
Day?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we did.
Yeah. So cool.
And then we shot it and we did the zooms and we tried things and then, you know, and it just informed everything.
Can you talk about the visual language?
Yeah.
Like the zooms and I mean, it's, I've watched your guys' work since the beginning for at least of
We were in the same like directing class.
Yeah, in the same directing class. I've seen it up close.
Yeah.
And like to be able to see the visual language kind of grow and evolve with you guys. And to, I think with this one, which is like, I think my favorite visually too, of just like exactly what you're saying, like really playing with blocking, moving in a space, and I feel like you're really like exploring that, you know, I mean, intentionally.
We've never shot anything with this nice of a camera before.
Yeah, we wanted to like, we kind of had like a checklist of like, what do we want the Extraordinaries to do for us? And it was like, make a movie for us, by us, that we would want to see, you know, try to experiment with like a very nice camera, which we had never done before.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, see if, and then the other goal was like getting back into making things. Cause it was like, literally we shot it just over a year after we graduated from USC.
And the deep end was,
it was the summer before our senior year.
Right. Okay. So it had been a couple of years.
It would have been a second since we'd done a bigger narrative thing like that. And so our director of photography, Ian Jackson, was like just so good at like making it look amazing. Mm-hmm. And like we did go back to the location with him probably like the Friday before we shot over that weekend or something so that he could take a look and see how he wanted to light it and everything.
Yeah.
And we gave him a lot of, you know, references and ideas and things. Like we talked about the store as a character. We talked about that magical, you know, romantic feeling. Like we wanted it to feel like a love story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so very clear.
He really just took it and ran with it and tried the zooming thing. And we were like, that looks great, man.
So it came from just great communication
of
the vision and allowing
it was all
him
collaborative,
to, because the camera does glide, you know, it's like, it's these like, which plays into that like kind of mystical, you know,
that first shot with the, when you're slowly and you guys entering the store.
Yeah.
That thing too.
That like establishes everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And tone. Another thing, like the first lines you hear in the movie before you even see us is like me asking if we look like Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
And that too, like that came in post because sometimes ADR. We have problems where people don't, the tone of our movies can sometimes be very funny and very dramatic. People don't necessarily always know if they're allowed to laugh.
Yes. Yeah.
And so and we love to like, here is permission.
Yeah.
But even if this is a serious subject matter, it's funny and you can
laugh at everything. Do we look like Dumb and Dumber? No, man, we look great.
Yeah.
And then we walk in and we're both like,
you double down on it.
It's a joke in the first 3 seconds.
Yeah. You try to do that. Because it's like, the deep end is, you know, it has LOL moments.
Such a dramatic start.
The beginning is like, very intense and very cutty and based on like real life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we wanted to do the opposite.
Yeah.
We spoke about this, but because I was making my like real first short at the same time as this, and it ended up being like kind of a similar project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it was like that, like kind of rom-com, but like, at least for us, we went out to make a very comedic, at least like comedy forward, and ended up being incredibly dramatic. And like halfway through the shoot, we were just like, I guess we're doing a drama. All right. But it's all, and we thought, we're like, we'll write something dramatic and real and then just cast funny people.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're not working with Jonah Hill and
It's hard. A question that I had earlier is when you guys have such a specific tone and dynamic that you've created yourself, when you're bringing in other people like a DP, a producer, what is that process like to kind of like lend your creative voice to them and trust them with your voice?
Yeah, we like really like to work with our friends.
Yeah.
And most people we work with, especially in like the key roles, are just like people that we are friends with in real life, which we think are so talented and just love being around.
I feel like every film set has to be at least 51% summer camp and then 49% film production.
It has to be. And it's like we trust that Ian, if he's coming on with a camera team, even if we don't know the people in his camera team, we know that he knows the vibe.
He's doing that.
And that it's like he's gonna bring fun, cool, awesome people onto set with him.
We wanted because we were directing and acting in it, we were like, we trust our friends, they're great, they know what's up.
You have to do their jobs. You're doing too many things. You have to be in the weeds on everything.
And we always just like working with our friends, and they're talented, and it is kind of also about like
fun.
And they trust us too. Yeah. Like they trust our tone. They trust that if we really like it, then hopefully it's going to be something good.
Yeah, they'll want to help bring it to life, and it's just a mutual thing.
Yeah.
2 years is not a short time, between a project.
Yeah.
And that's a muscle that atrophies of, and not specifically directing or acting or writing per se, but more of like the actual like muscle to do something and be like, I have an idea, now let's go shoot it.
Yeah.
Can you talk about like, because you guys have large aspirations and you're on your way.
Yeah.
But there is pressure with that,
as you need,
as you put on yourself.
Yep.
How did you go about dealing with pressure and then deciding that this was the story to do?
It was like, well, making the sketches, which, you know, we were all a part of, and we did a couple like at the end of 2024.
Yeah.
Really helped with like, we can still make stuff. We can still do things. It's possible. But it's almost like, this movie came out and we made it at such a time where it's like, it just had to be made. It had to come out of us in that moment. There was no other choice.
We couldn't hold
the moment you wrote it, you were like, we're going to shoot this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is super scary to get back into
it. But while we were doing that, we were also writing like, you know, a couple features, and you know, that's like, we were still working creatively. We weren't just like in the film production, short film mode. Yeah. We were like writing all the time and doing features and stuff, and like, but at the same time with the pressure is like, that's one of my goals, like trying to make this movie. It was like, remove any expectations for like, this film, we're trying to do this with it, we're trying to make this with it. Like with The Extraordinaries, we just wanted to make it so that we could make it, and that was it.
It was almost like a moment to take or like a safe space of like, there is no pressure on this, and everything else has pressure,
like kind of like conversely, like weirdly what ended up happening is like success from that.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know, like we got to screen at 50/50. Yeah. Like we won an audience award at Nifty, which we were so proud of and like very happy. But it came from like us just doing something for us.
It's that thing where it's like, you just have to remember that if you are passionate about the story you're trying to tell, other people will be passionate about it too. Tell the story which you want to tell, not what you think other people want to see.
Yeah.
We like talking about like Nifty, we had no idea it was even going to get in or anyone would even like it.
Yeah,
we opened our block and then we won the audience award because, and it's like
we had no idea
that wasn't your goal. You know, your goal was to be like, okay, we have this dynamic and we have to put this forward because we have this thing that we just need to make.
And it felt like the first time that I was able to experience any of my movies as an audience member. you know? And it's like, we always go back to like, make movies that you would want to see.
Yeah.
And I'm like, being able to watch it. And that was like the greatest gift from the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was really a special time.
How do you guys write features, do the short while also working full-time jobs?
Because I know
you
guys
work full-time jobs.
Yeah.
At like that are creative too.
Yes, it, right.
Within creative. The industry.
Right.
So how do you
I don't know if we would be able to do it if we didn't literally live together.
Yeah, and we have each other.
Yeah. It's like, because there's no hiding. Like, I know where he sleeps.
So
like, I can come into his room and you be like, get up, we gotta write now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it took us a second once we started walking and everything to be like, we can do stuff outside of work. It's okay.
Totally.
But once we, like, we're good at working on specific projects. Once we start something, we're very dedicated to like, we will get this done.
We're goal oriented.
And it's like, even if we're exhausted after a day of work, we don't want to do it, or we're not feeling it, or whatever. If we're doing it together, so at least we're both going to be having a horrible time together, which just makes it better. And then it's like, there were countless, like the movie we just finished writing.
Yeah, which we're trying to make next as our first indie feature.
We had countless nights of like, we know we should be prioritizing sleep, but we're really close to something, and now we're up until 3 a.m. talking about it, and like, we have to delete the last 20 pages we did and start again. It's like,
so fun,
it's only okay and only works so well because like, we are living together and all in it together.
So the lesson here is just like, live with your writing.
Well, that's helpful, but you have to push yourself a little bit. You have to take care of yourself, but it's like, like we were working like really long days and you know, like sometimes like my, like, technically, like, my hours end at 7 p.m. for work, but sometimes they go past that depending on what's happening at work, and sometimes I have to be on, and it's like, sometimes we wouldn't be able to open final draft until, like, 11 p.m., and we would, you know? Yeah.
Did it feel like, I'm doing this for me, like, we're doing this for us, or was it like, here we go?
No, it's always for us. It's always like, we wouldn't do it if we didn't want to do it, you know? And it's like, we did it because it's like, we care so much about our movies, obviously our careers, what we want to do. We have big dreams, but it's like, like, you know, you try to, I have to like anchor myself and be like, I want to make this movie so bad. I want to watch this movie so bad, and it doesn't exist. So I got to go make it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and also like when work gets intense or when work gets whatever, like it's always like motivating fuel to be like, well, what I, in the future, like it would be great to be a filmmaker. And I like, love my job right now.
Yeah.
So I'm in a unique position to be able to try to do both.
Yeah. Something that we have like full creative power over, and it's like really our thing. And so we're both working on such cool stuff too, but it's like, you know, it's not our stuff. And it's like when we're getting to write a movie or make a short or make a sketch,
it fuels
whatever,
a different thing.
It's just our brains, our hearts, our voices being put out in the world.
You guys have really found that style. Like, applause to you. You've really... It must feel so good.
Thank you, but we're still figuring
it out. Yeah, no, right.
Like,
yeah.
At least to me, I'm like, that is it. At least The Extraordinaries feels like such a specific tone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that so? Like, do you guys want to replicate that tone in future?
For sure.
It's like, if you know, The Extraordinaries, even though it's not a proof of concept from the movie we're watching, it is in a tone way.
Sure.
You should be able to watch The Extraordinaries and go, I like that. I will like and understand.
Yeah,
you
can see the authorship there.
Yeah. That's a calling card short.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's the definition.
It's
of
not
a
proof
card.
Of concept. It's a calling. It's a different thing. Like, sometimes they're both at
it's a
once.
Proof of us.
Yes, exactly. And it does help that we are in it, and that you can see our faces. Because
you're like, these are the guys who made that.
You know.
How much are you guys talking about your future as a filmmaking
every day?
A lot.
Right. And okay, so what specifically are you talking about, and how like actually like strategic is it? Like, are you guys talking about like, our next thing should be this, and this is the goal, and ooh, I would love to do a movie like that? Like, what are the day-to-day conversations?
I mean, now
like,
we're in producer mode,
and we're trying to get this feature off the ground.
Figuring out how to make a movie, and like, how do you get money, and who do you talk to, and who's gonna help us, and how's this gonna work? And so we're talking a lot about that, but it's like, we're trying to be smart, we're trying to be strategic, we're trying to use like, oh, you met this person, I met that person, maybe mm-hmm. they'll be nice and help us with this and that and whatever. Yeah, yeah, and it's like 50-50. Yeah. We were just at the festival, we screened, we met so many like really, really nice people from UTA, CA, whatever, who wanted to speak to us about our work and like special to get an opportunity like that. And we're gonna go get drinks with those people have, and like, start becoming friends with people.
And ask them for money.
And then be like, can you give us money? And like, But
there's a lot of like, I won't sugarcoat it, there's a lot of strategy that goes into, you know, trying to figure out like,
I know that too from, you know, knowing you guys for a bit. There was, I remember you talking about the deep end of like, I think we're going to do this to like, we're doing this to like, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? And then like, I think we're thinking about this sketch show.
Right.
And then you do it. And I think we might be going to shoot a little thing, just us two and like a really nice camera and like, boom.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I remember also you're like, I'm thinking about this feature, like our first one. And I think it's going to be simple. And like, we want to be able to do it ourselves. Yeah. And like, there it is, you know, like you're working on it.
I think it's just step by step, and it's doing things that we, I mean, we're so aligned in the stuff that we want to make. And you know, we were talking on the way over here of like other ideas of things that we would want to do that really just like, if it gets us excited and if it has that gut feeling that we're like, oh yeah, we want to do this, then we're gonna try to do it, you know. And like, you know, it takes a while, and sometimes it's like sending emails, and sometimes it's going to film festivals, sometimes it's networking. Sometimes it's writing and redeveloping, but it's all for this larger goal of being filmmakers.
Right. Even just like a little side note, but we talk about this so much, of just the importance of actual product. And like being able to go to 50-50 or any festival or any coffee or drinks and say, I'm a filmmaker.
Yeah.
The next question is, I'd love to see something.
Right.
And you say, here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of, well, we're in post right now. Yeah. Or we're writing and like
there, you have to have stuff. The ears are going to be turned off.
You have, you know, like that. You have the thing.
I mean, at this point, we have like sketches, two shorts, two written features, pilots, whatever, all kind of ready to go.
Have what you need. What do you want?
And we can, we can share that, and that's helpful.
Which is at our level, we see this and hear this from the industry side.
Yeah.
When they talk to our age kids, what do they want to do? I don't know what they want to do.
Right.
And it's like, to be able to speak to guys like you, for them, it's like, oh my God, they actually know what they want to do, and they have proof to like back it up.
And and it's cool to get to have known you guys now for a couple of years. And like, I've known you at different points, you know, where you're just doing sketches or just kind of ideating. And now you guys like have this thing. So it's very exciting.
Andrew brought a good point earlier where it is like, yes, you gotta be thinking about your future and strategy and everything, but it's like, it is so, we've realized that it's so important in this period of our lives, but it's like, oh, you have to remember like mental health, physical health, all of these things are like incredibly important. And it's like, you're not gonna be getting your best work done if you're like
pushing yourself and really hurting yourself.
And it's like, it's, you know, nice to kind of remember that. I've noticed, if you spoke to me 2 years ago, post-graduation, I would be like, we're going to be fucking famous tomorrow.
Yeah.
But now, 2 years down the line, I'm like, I like that this is happening naturally and gradually. Yeah. And it's because of, only because of hard work and what we put in, we get back. And it's not like, hey, yo, here's your big feature and $1 million right now.
Yeah.
It's like, if me and Andrew had to make a feature last year, we would have died.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast because
we made a silo.
We would be getting 1 year memories from your funeral.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's like
a year ago today.
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't have been ready. Yeah. We wouldn't have been.
And it's like, we're like 24. Yeah, I found out in November that I'm allergic to like gluten. I'm 24 years old.
We're figuring it out.
I just found that out. And it's like, you got to figure out like how you are as a human being before you can really throw yourself
and
into
to me it's like everything. I feel like for me that day to day is it's just the type of person I am, freaking myself the hell out. Like I am constantly like, oh, I need to be doing that, but then
and, we get
it
that.
Is for the mental health. Right. It is very important to have those moments where like, where I'm like, I'm 25 years old.
Yeah.
I should, like, I'm doing fine for where other people are at. Like, I'm
right,
like,
right, right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And I should be proud of
it. Yeah, you have, yeah, to, you have to be grateful for things like we are living and working in Los Angeles. Yeah. We have jobs in the industry that we really care about and we really yeah. like, yeah. you know, and we've gotten to do great things. Like, at work, we're fortunate enough to do stuff outside of work and see our friends and have, like, you know, a nice time with that. So if you... And also the work that we're doing outside of work, our own personal careers, like, if it isn't fun, then we shouldn't be doing it. Yeah. It's supposed to be fun. Yeah.
Because always. You need yeah. that for yeah. your for your
That's the well-being. Fun. That's the yes. fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But,
you know, it's okay if it's not always fun.
No, it can be stressful. Yeah. You have to, yeah. like, yeah. you have to go into the woods and, like,
right. figure it out. Right, but it's important you know? To remember the origin of yeah. it was.
We've like, had, just like, not all such even, like, even with yeah. the extraordinaries, it's like, I was stung by a bee the day before we shot. And I was, like, talking to Andrew, like, I don't think we're going to be able to do a story. And he's like, what are you fucking talking about?
He got
like,
stung by a bee on his finger.
Yeah. And then it's like getting in there yeah. and it's like you shoot it and the day you're like completely like disassociating completely. And then yeah. we're in post. I'm like having to talk to Andrew like we can't be acting like this. We have, it's like we can't be so deep and dark mm-hmm. about this process or else we're yeah. just going to hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we have to remember yeah. that we're having fun too.
And do it's you like, guys like egg each other on in that? Like do you?
Well, we're both like huge hypochondriacs yeah, yeah. Who stress and yeah, have anxiety.
Yeah, we're stressed and, like, out people yeah, for yeah, sure. Like, you know?
And so very yes, there cool. have definitely yeah. been moments where we're like sitting around being like this movie sucks and this is yeah, terrible but also but we also are like this is the greatest thing anyone's ever made right yeah, yeah, right yeah. right
two things yeah. can be true at yeah. once
you know yeah.
3 a.m.
and it's like I mean, it's only healthy
yeah. we yeah. laugh because every single every time we finish a draft of a screenplay we're like this is amazing no yeah. one could ever change yeah. us no yeah. notes
and then at
we,
what point are you like
a week night. Later okay, or like yeah, a day sure. later we're like oh this we was fucking it. Completely
yeah.
wrong
yeah. But,
and it's like we've had a million breakthroughs with our new feature
yeah. yeah
where it was like yep this is the way but Arthur and I think we're really lucky in that we both have the same intuition where we can like sort of smell when something's wrong
yeah.
and know that we have to fix it and then somehow we'll come up with an idea. And then we go, that's
yeah.
it.
And it's hard work. It's like,
it takes a
it
long
would be
time.
Way easier if like we smell bullshit and we just like push it under the rug
yeah.
and just kept going forward. But instead we
have
real
to.
Hard conversations yeah. about this isn't working and yeah. how the fuck do we fix it?
And that might mean rewriting your whole feature.
Yeah. And yeah. that might mean staying up until 5 a.m. and not writing anything and just sitting and like bashing our heads against each other until something yeah, yeah. comes. But it always does.
A nice walk the next morning. Yeah. Get a big breakfast. Yeah. yeah take exactly. care of yourself. I think yeah. that's because you need the balance.
You yeah. have to.
You know, yeah. it's like, yes, it's amazing to
grind.
To like grind.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and it's so important.
Right.
Because you will not, if you're not obsessed, you're not going
to. It feels
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
good.
It's
yeah.
like, we know at this point too from like writing two movies, but yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah. we can't write a movie in a week. We
yeah.
outline for months, we write it for months, we yeah, rewrite like, it for months, and it's like that's what the process is.
It's a very regular
sometimes
thing.
Writing yeah. is like going out to dinner, like just yeah. like a little date
yeah,
with just
the
two of us,
and like,
we order food and we talk and we figure it out and then we come back to it feeling refreshed but with also like more like actionable valuable insights on the story
totally.
Yeah.
and the script and the characters yeah. that we can use to write, and that counts as writing
yeah. I mean, it's so valuable to have someone to be able to bounce ideas
yes.
off.
Yeah.
You know,
living in your house.
Yeah.
Right. No, literally, yes, literally. Exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
That's
yeah.
helpful. And like, I look at yeah. some of my favorite filmmakers, like I love Wes Anderson movies. Yeah. Like he doesn't write those alone. You know,
no.
he always has
Roman
writing
and,
partners.
And,
exactly.
Yeah.
And Owen Wilson and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it. You know, yeah, I come, yeah. That's what it's all
totally.
About.
Yeah.
Makes it more fun.
Yeah. yeah.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
I'm grateful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can only write with other people
yeah.
to some
yeah.
extent. I mean, I can, like, conceive of ideas.
Yeah.
And, or I'm better at actually conceiving of ideas with other
yeah.
people.
Right.
And then I can write individually,
yeah,
but sometimes.
Sure.
But the collaborative process
right.
is so essential,
I mean,
especially in this
yeah.
business
yeah.
and at our age.
It's
like,
so nice.
You just need, especially if you're working full-time,
right.
you mm-hmm. need someone else's energy. Like,
yeah.
you need to, like, just like seep energy from someone and
yes.
give energy, like
yeah.
you need that
we
energy
kind of,
exchange.
It's like we have our first audience built in with each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's like, even if like I'm working on my, I write my own script for something, it
mm-hmm.
always goes to Andrew first.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first
yeah.
one to look at, the first one to give me notes. And it's
mm-hmm.
just like, you know, I think there's a lot of value in, like, you know, if you don't have something like this, writers groups and stuff like that and whatever. Mm-hmm. I just find it a lot more comfortable when there's someone I completely trust looking at my art, because it's like, she is so vulnerable.
It's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to, of course, tell Arthur the truth. Yeah. But I'll also, I know what kinds of things he's trying to go for and what his writing sensibilities and characters are like. And so that I know, like, I know what's, I'm like, this is working. This is really working, man. And I can, and I, and like, you know, I'll give it to him straight. You know? But
it's good at this point. It's like, you know, yes, we're always trying to be as nice to each other as possible, but it's like, we can be like, this doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we don't have to worry about
the shorthand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very helpful. Jumping back to set, like being on set with Extraordinaries, and like, you guys were, you wrote the thing, you were acting in it, and you also were directing it.
Yeah.
Were you like really digging into like being on set, doing that? And for the folks listening who want to do the same thing,
right?
Like, how, of course you did all the prep, but like actually on the day, are you watching playback a bunch? Are you looking to your DP? Are you looking to, you have a producer on set that's helping you?
Like, yes.
Well, or is it really just after a take, you look at each other and say,
it's a combination of all of those things. Yeah. Like sometimes we watched a little bit of playback, but like, you know, because we only had one day and one location, it was like, we only wanted to do it to check it out, you know, if we felt like we really needed to look at it.
Yeah.
But it's like, otherwise, like our producers were there to help us, to help guide us and like, you know, be honest with us about like, this thing that I know you guys are going for is not coming across yet. Yeah. So now do this. And I'm like, thank you for that.
Yeah. It's like, if it's we're doing a comedy and no one is laughing behind the camera and stuff, and you're like, probably something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like you say cut and everybody cracks up because they're holding it in. We're like, let's move on.
I was about to ask that, because I think it's so important, to prepare so that you can have that magic on the day of,
which
we've talked about that magic in the moment. How in tune are you with your crew and are you trying to make them laugh? Like that's something that
always.
When I've acted in the past, I've been like, if I can get someone to break, well, like that's like the goal. I don't care if it gets in the final cut. So, I'm just like, I need to hear laughter.
Right. We're really good at not breaking. And so it is always like, well, if one of us breaks, we know we've got something great going here. Yeah. But and it's like, we love both The Bear and we love Severance, but like I like how on The Bear it's like they do 3 takes each, they don't have the time, they just get it done, and it's like you just trust it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know, I feel like we're kind of directing each other, and it's like if I feel like Andrew feels like I got it and I feel like he's got it, we both feel like we're happy with the performance we gave and it's been 1 or 2 or 3 takes, and we can just go.
And it's like, because we're so trusting of our crew too, like we can turn to our DP and be like, we got it, and he's like, we got it. Sweet. You know, and then we can feel confident.
Best feeling in the world.
You know, and it's best feeling in the world. You know, like I think it takes a while to learn that trust too. Like that's not just something where we're like, we're super trusting people. Right. Like, no, we did like 4 years of film school where we had to like learn to expand our crew, to build it out, so that we have, like we said, like we have friends who are involved, who know what we're going for, and we all share the same vision. Yeah. So we can confidently be like, yes, we can move on.
Yeah.
If our DP, if our producer, if our AD says we can move on.
And I'm sure there's like a ton of people who have been on the pod, who are listening to the pod, who people our age can relate to being the only kind of film kid in high school.
Doing it all themselves.
It takes a long time to learn how to trust other people.
Yes.
And feel like other people have good ideas too and whatever. But it's like the fact that me and Andrew didn't have to worry about the framing of a shot on this short, like,
oh my god,
was so thrilled.
Such a sigh of relief.
It was great.
How did you actually do that? Was it just, did you storyboard, did you have,
well, like, because we shot it,
I know you did the iPhone, but like were you really like,
we checked going back through different, like, for line? The first shot and be like, okay, this is right, but then we'd let it be.
We did bad. More takes of like the opening shot more than any other one, because that one was like, we're doing it in one shot, we're not cutting here, needs to be good.
Also, we're trying to warm up as actors.
It was like the beginning of the day, it was like 8 in the morning, you know,
and whatever. we haven't really acted properly in a long time.
We're in these suits where we can't move around.
You're a little, you feeling a little stiff.
Yeah.
for sure.
It's like they're putting like powder on Andrew's face because he's so shiny oily, and oily and sweating so much. Yeah, and I have to have like so much gel in my hair.
You guys
just isn't moving.
You look
like,
completely normal, but
you
look
in a good way, though. Yeah, in like a
And then I'd hear whispers on set where it's like, Andrew's shiny again. Andrew's shiny. And I'd be like, I'm not shiny.
I'm not. I can hear you.
It's like, he's like, bro, like, you're shiny.
You're shining.
The camera. Like, yeah, you know, like you're about.
You're hard to. Yeah. It's too bright.
And I'm sweating. It's hot in there. Yeah. It's the summer. Yeah. It was like the first. It was like early.
It's
summer.
West Covina.
Yeah, it was like the desert. You know.
You should say it was like way hotter in there than it was.
Yeah, it was like 200 degrees in there.
It was humid. Yeah. It was.
But it's even like, I don't think I had been laved up ever before that moment.
You had a lab. Yeah.
And it's like, so you're like, there's a something on my leg and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we
it's
had
just
cord
like
on the leg.
Our sound our production sound like mixer was like the lav was like rigged up to like our collar, our bow ties or something hidden in a really clever way, and then the string went all the way down like under our shirt, down our leg, and then like the actual like receiver was on, I don't know, transmitter.
Is that because you're in a tuxedo? And
yeah, it was the best way.
You couldn't have it on the belt or something.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah,
wow. That's cool.
Yeah,
who did your sound?
Bryce Stevens. Yeah.
Is that a USC buddy?
Yeah. We met Bryce at USC through. I think I was like on another set.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
they were friends also with some other friends of ours, and they were in like a band.
Oh yeah, Bryce was in a band.
Our friend Cassidy and we went to their like one show ever and like kind of helped film it and I like got the crowd warmed up for them and it was just like
it was just one of those college things.
And then we were like, well, we need a sound person,
and we knew Bryce was like an expert.
So
we hit them up.
That's great.
That's really cool.
Well,
it's so cool seeing you guys sort of develop and really begin to establish your comedic voices and everything. And this is the part of the podcast that you guys know about where we ask you the age-old question. and I'm curious, and we can do it, we can do it either individually or like some sort of shared thing.
Maybe we do both.
Well, what?
Ask the
question and then we'll conference.
So what is the dream for you guys?
That's a
good question.
We're
I think we can do separate, we can do together. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Speak from our heart.
Separate and then together.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think it's like my dream in my life is to be a filmmaker, you know? And it's to be known as a filmmaker. And I want to be able to live my life, you know, whether that's making money, you know, how I schedule my life, by making films, whether that's in pre-production, writing stuff, then directing something, then editing something, then writing something, then directing something, then editing something, and being able to live and work in Los Angeles and also do that on the East Coast as well, to make movies that I've always seen in my head growing up, and to continue working with my best friends, you know, from USC. Obviously Arthur, you know, but like I knew when I met those people and when I started working with these people that we made The Extraordinaries with, I was like, forever. We have to work with each other forever. Yeah. And that's what I want. And it's like, my dream is to just keep making films. I want to be a feature film director with movies that are shown in theaters. I want to make coming of age films, comedy dramas, you know. I want to make films in Rhode Island. I want to make films in Los Angeles. And I want to make people, I think this is the biggest dream. So you can cut all the other stuff out.
We're not, we don't cut.
Exactly. But I think
one long take.
The ultimate goal is to make movies that people quote lines from.
We haven't heard that. That's cool.
I like that.
Yeah. Just make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I'm kidding. No, I wonder
how much.
Just like $2. Okay. $2 for a movie would be great.
$2 or $3
Nice.
No, I wonder. Like, it's obvious same shit, you know, and like, and it's like same we shit. Always talk about that like quotable, relatable, like timeless type thing. But it's like, I don't know, like my hero is someone like Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I want to not let the comedy genre die.
Yeah.
Like, it is so important to me that there is someone out there championing comedy as a genre, comedic talent. It's my favorite thing. It's all I watch. It's all I take in. There are so many brilliant people out there whose careers I feel like should be 100 times bigger. And it's like, if I can be the kind of person who can write for them, direct for them, bring myself with all of these great people like up all together, then like my dreams would come true.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, like I want comedy back in the theater yesterday.
Yeah.
I want like my generation to have an Austin Powers. I want my generation to have like a all of these bad. Big studio comedies
that everybody quotes, that everybody knows. Yeah.
Because it's like, we just need that. We need to laugh together.
And Arthur and I, like, we always shared that like vision. Like even like our first week when we met each other at USC, it was like, you know, imagine that Arthur and I got to make a movie that some 13-year-old kid saw for the first time at summer camp, and then it became their favorite movie forever.
Yeah. And I always, like, I say this a lot in, like, my like, bio and stuff. It's like, I want to make stuff which is, like, as stupid as it is smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's just very important to me that we don't, as a society, like, lose stupid-ass movies.
Yeah. I love that, man. Yeah. And I think... with filmmakers like you both, you know, like comedy's in good hands.
Yeah.
You know, like we're, and I do wholeheartedly believe that like comedy's really coming back in an amazing way.
It is. And there's big studio comedies coming up. Yeah. I mean, look at like The Naked Gun that came out pretty recently. Oh, like that was something
new. Falcons movie coming out. Yeah. I mean, on the indie side, you have like the fawn of a band and you have like all of these great things.
Which did
like,
real numbers.
It did.
Yeah.
And like we loved it and that we were so inspired by it. And like we talk about this all the time, and part of like what I think is in some of the stuff we really tried to infuse in that feature that we're trying to make is blending the sensibilities of indie comedy with high concept studio comedies, you know,
and it's like
the broad appeal, but also some of the more character driven heart.
Like, we want to make stuff which like our generation, like the movie which we're trying to make is about that moment in time, which we're all in now, where it's like you're a year or two out of college, you have your first job ever, and you're like surrounded by people 10 years older than you, older sometimes, and it's like you don't feel like you're supposed to be there. This doesn't make any sense. You're just a kid still, but it's time to be an adult.
It's a very specific
and we just
time,
feel like when we were putting our pitch deck together and writing this, we just didn't find like a lot of movies at all that have focused on this specific moment in time, and we're just like, well, can we do the Superbad, do what Superbad was for high school, what like Booksmart is, what like Diary of a Wimpy Kid is for middle school for us in this moment in time.
Yeah.
And so something that like Gen Z who are entering the workforce can see and be like, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coming of age movie for somebody who's 23 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what we really want.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, you guys have been such great guests and so supportive.
Oh man.
With Luke
Thank you for having us.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, we're so proud of you guys and what this has become. And
we've,
it's like,
we've literally been
when
50-50.
We met like years ago before the festival was, he came to us and he was like, I have this idea for a thing. Like, would you guys send in a movie? And we were like, you're
gonna
do a film festival where like comedy can be focused on. And it's like, that meant everything to us. And it always has. And it's like so awesome how much it's grown. And like Brain Dead is like where it was always meant to be. And to see that.
So cool. And like,
unbelievable.
Films that we keep seeing year after year get like the level, the quality is insane, the humor is insane. Like, I don't know, it's really special to see you guys have the podcast. You guys are doing a lot,
which again we listen to every single week,
every day
a week. After we finish Drake and Driving, I'm 50-50 and Driving.
A lot of people speed up the podcast, but you guys slow it down.
Listen to this shit slow.
We're really happy that 50-50 is growing, and we're really happy to be a part of the community.
We're just trying to keep up with you guys, you know. We're just the festival just tries to grow with the filmmakers. So that's the goal.
Chill with the glazing, bro.
Yeah, man. panic.
Whoa. Whoa, Julian, the glazer. It's a great way to, and then we get his fake talk, because this will be when we have like
an ad. The logo.
Yeah, exactly. This is when all the ads this are. This is like right. the Our many, stuff. Many ads. Yeah.
We, like, so we can stop being nice to each other now?
Yeah. Did you learn something? I'm like your mom. Did you learn something in this episode? I hope so. Or not. That's okay. Thanks for hanging. Make sure you follow us at the 50/50 Fest on Instagram. And give us 5 stars, because why not? Why not? Subscribe. Why not? You know? Why not? Okay, bye.